Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 10, text 68, 69, and 70. I think this is, yeah, this is number 70. So I'm usually a backup when someone's not able to make it. So apologies to disappoint you if you're expecting the devotee to give class whose schedule it was, and I'm instead you have me. So we are reading from 68 onwards. There's no purport for 68 and 69. So I'll just read the text and translation, and then we will repeat 70 together. So 68, translation, the Lord's four devotees considered. We want a person to go to Bengal just to inform Sachi Mata about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival at Jagannath Puri. After hearing news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival, devotees like Advaita and Srivas will certainly come to see him. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Let us therefore send Krishnadas to Bengal. Saying this, they kept Krishnadas engaged in the service of the Lord and gave him assurance. Purport. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him, Kala Krishnadas became very, very sorry and began to cry. Therefore the Lord's devotees took compassion upon him. Gave him assurance and encouraged him to continue to engage in the Lord's service. Om Adnyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavarinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this narration is a continuation of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya as he returns to Jagannath Puri from South India. And as he returns to Puri, he has a particular associate. He has a particular associate that he's been traveling with. What's his name? Krishnadas. Kala Krishnadas. Actually, there are two Kala Krishnadas in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. This particular one was a simple Brahmana who was asked by Nityananda to travel along with Mahaprabhu to South India. So Mahaprabhu has now returned. But there's been a not so nice episode while Mahaprabhu was in South India. Anyone knows what that episode was? Kala Krishnadas was allured by a pretty woman of the Bhattahiri clan. So these Bhattahiris, I mean, in the purports we see, Prabhupada calls them gypsies. But they're not like the gypsies that we, you know, when we hear the word gypsy, we think of certain kind of people who are, you know, traveling and illegally occupying land. Yeah, but this is not that kind of gypsy. So Bhattahiri is actually Nambudri Brahmanas. And they are Vaishnavas also. But there are three types within the Bhattahiris. There are the first type, which is known as the Shastra Bhattahiris. They preach actually Shastra. The second type is called Smartha Bhattahiris. And this particular type is responsible for, they study Smriti Shastras and they are responsible for chastising those who don't follow. So they have weapons. And then the third type of Bhattahiris are known as Bhagavata Bhattahiri, who give Bhagavat Katha and who recite Bhagavat Purana. So, in one sense, Krishnadas, Kala Krishnadas probably thought, these are nice people to associate with. But the Shastra Bhattahiris, who carry weapons as well, they allured Krishnadas to marry a particular lady from their clan, a girl. And when Mahaprabhu found that out, Mahaprabhu was extremely upset. And he wasn't upset so much because Kala Krishnadas chose to get married, but he was upset because there was a commitment that he had made to accompany Mahaprabhu on his tour, which he is now not following. And because of that, Mahaprabhu actually personally goes and grabs Kala Krishnadas by the hair and pulls him out. And the Bhattahiris, they revolt. And these Bhattahiris, actually Mahaprabhu's conversation with the Bhattahiris, Mahaprabhu says, you are also a sannyasi? I am also a sannyasi. So why are you doing this? Because some of the Bhattahiris are sannyasis also. So you find in Chaitanya Charitamrita the conversation of Mahaprabhu with the Bhattahiris. Only one conversation, which is, you are also a sannyasi? I am also a sannyasi. So why do you do this? Why do you allure my servant to your clan? Anyway, Mahaprabhu personally pulled him out from that situation. So Mahaprabhu personally protected him. You see, there are many lessons from this pastime. And the most important lesson is that the Lord always protects. Lord Chaitanya protected Krishnadas. However, his mood and his interaction with Krishnadas changed. Mahaprabhu then continues. So this happens in Malabar, in Kerala. So now Kerala is predominantly Christian and Muslim. But those days it was full of Nambudri Brahmanas. So northern Karnataka and Kerala. So in Malabar, it is known as Malabar Coast. So this is where this happened. And then Mahaprabhu took him and they went to Adikesha Mandir. And in Adikesha Mandir, Mahaprabhu discovered Brahma Samhita. He made his travels further up into Maharashtra. And then from Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, he went to Bengal, Orissa. And that's how he reached Puri. So he took Krishnadas along with him all the way through. But his mood and interaction with Krishnadas changed. Because Krishnadas drifted away. So although the Lord saved him, the Lord was not happy with him. And this is a lesson we need to learn. The second most important thing is that we need to understand from this pastime that the material energy of the Lord is incredibly powerful. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, I think, Srila Prabhupada in one of the purport writes that Maya, the external energy of the Lord, has two aspects. One is known as prakshepatmika, the other is avaranatmika. Avaranatmika means maya, or the external energy of the Lord, covers your understanding. Covers. And the second is prakshepatmika, it pulls your consciousness down. So even while one is, many years ago, one particular sannyasi in ISKCON, he was gifted a Rolex watch by one of his disciples. And very well-known personality at that time. As a devotee in Chowpatty, well, he left this world. His name was Srinathji Prabhu, Dr. N.D. Desai. He was in Thailand for some business trip. And he saw this man who looked very similar to someone he knew from the past. But he couldn't figure out. He had long hair. He was going around with a Thai girl. And Dr. Desai thought, well, let me ask him, do we know each other? And this man said, he was trying to avoid him. He said, of course, Hare Krishna. And then Srinathji Prabhu said, Maharaj, that's you. What happened? We knew something happened. We don't know what happened. He said, oh, you know, the story starts with a Rolex watch. I lost the golden Rolex watch. I became so disturbed in my mind. And because of that, it was a long story, but somehow he ended up in Thailand, and then he ended up in some bad association, and he gave up everything. And so just one little thing. Maya is very strong. Even if you are Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, apparently, and I can't find that quote anywhere, but I heard it from one of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples' mouth. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, even if you are on the altar, worshipping the Lord, looking at the Lord, just one little thing could drift your mind completely away. So, very strong. The impulses of this material nature are extremely strong. We have so many examples in the Shastra. Bharat Maharaj, he's a nice, cute little deer and loses all his tapasya. Sobhari Muni, he thinks, I cannot be on land surrounded by all these people, looking at them, talking, chit-chatting, going about their daily activities. I need to be in seclusion. What better place than the Yamuna, the banks of Yamuna? He goes to the banks of Yamuna, he feels, well, there's still a lot going on here. What about me going right in the bottom of the Yamuna and sitting and meditating? So that's what he does. But what happens? While he's meditating, he has his eyes half open. Two little fish, one male fish and one female fish, come right in front of his... He's still, right? He's completely still. Come right in front of his eyes. And they are having... They're a nice little pastime. And Sobhari, disturbed, thinks, what am I doing here? I should be getting married. He jumps out of the Yamuna and starts looking for a partner. This is true. Ajamila. You see, now we have this world in which we have the internet, and the internet gives you everything, including all the good, the bad, and the ugly. And one thing, they were doing some kind of a... I don't read so much, but I do follow some of the headlines. One of the headlines at one point from the BBC was that the most dreaded thing about the internet is the access to... the easy access to pornography. And pornography can really disturb your mind, because it takes you from a real world to something you know, like a fantasy of some sort. It's complete waste of time and energy and you know. But it's not a new problem. It's not a new problem. I mean, devotees struggle with it sometimes. It's not a new problem because we have Ajamila watching pornography in a different way. In those days you didn't have the mobile phones and you couldn't do it. But Ajamila does it in hiding behind a tree, hiding behind a tree. Of course, when you do these things, you do it in hiding, away from people. And he watches this prostitute associating with this man, you know, embracing and kissing, and that's it, done. Ajamila now wants to associate with a woman. So, Maya is very strong. When Krishnadas is going about serving the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, he's still affected by the Bhattahiri. By the way, the word Bhattahiri in Malayali means expert. So these are experts. And but Maya is the most expert, the material energy of the Lord. You see, the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse which says, Balavan Indriya Gramo. Balavan, the strongest of all, is the Indriya Grama, the sense. Your senses are the strongest. Grama means like a village, right? Senses, the village of the senses. Which means all your senses are so strong. Balavan Indriya Gramo. Does anyone know the next line? Vidvamsam apikarshati. Vidvamsam apikarshati. Even one who is a learned person, vidvamsam api also karshati, is also attracted. Even a learned person is attracted by the impulses, or he's pushed, propelled by the impulses of his senses. Even a learned person. So it doesn't spare anyone. The senses are so strong, so powerful. So Vyasadev, in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Vyasadev has many disciples, one of which is Jaimini, and Vyasadev is dictating Srimad Bhagavatam to Jaimini. Actually, if you read the Mahabharata, it is spoken by Jaimini, Jaimini Rishi. So Vyasadev is dictating Bhagavatam. He comes to the 9th canto, chapter 19, is it? I think, chapter 19. And he comes across this verse. Balavan Indriya Gramo means senses are so strong. Vidvamsam apikarshati. Even a learned man, even a self-realized man is attracted, gets drifted away. When Jaimini hears this, and Vyasadeva is meditating with his eyes closed and he's dictating. So, like a good scribe, he should just scribe whatever is being dictated, but instead he scribes, Balwan tu nakarshati. Vidvam sam tu nakarshati. So he scribes it as, the senses are very strong, but a learned man is not disturbed by it. A learned man doesn't get controlled by the senses. Because he couldn't, he thought maybe Vyas is making an error in saying that even Vidvan can get attracted. So Vyasadeva realized. So when they took a break, Vyasadeva said, okay, you can go back to your hut and we continue tomorrow. So that night, he was doing his revision, Jaimini, going through all the verses. And the last verse he had written was, Balavan Indriya Gramo Vidvamsam Tunakarshati. Learned man is not attracted. With senses cannot do anything wrong to the learned man. And he was thinking, yes, yes, that is correct. At that time, suddenly the clouds appeared in the sky and it started raining. And this was Hemanta Rishu, Ritu. Hemanta is winter. Generally there is no rain in the winter season. But suddenly it was raining heavily. And the foothills of the Himalayas, so it became snow. And just at that time it was dark. And there was a knock on the door. Knock. And Jaimini goes and opens the door. And he sees in the dark, lightning falls. And he sees a silhouette of a beautiful woman. And he says, Balavan Indriya Gramo Vidvamsam Tu Nakarshati. I'm not attracted to this woman. What do you want, lady? And then this lady says in a very soft, sweet voice, my dear sir, I am lost in this forest and it's cold and I'm wet and I need some shelter and some warmth. Could you please help? You seem like a kind sadhu. And Jaimini says, well, please come in. And he asks, he'd put a little fire in his hut because it was cold. He asks the lady, you sit next to the fire. I'm going to sit in that corner and you can sit, stay as long as you want. When you are okay, or maybe in the morning, you can leave. I'm just going to do my bhajan in the corner. So he sits in the corner doing bhajan. Suddenly through the window, the lightning comes and again, he sees the flash. He sees the lady. Now we can see the beautiful lips of the lady and the beautiful eyes and then the beautiful form of every bodily part of the lady. And because she has been wet, her clothes are sticking to her body, so he can even, it's even more revealing. Anyway, you get the idea. So, here, Jaimini is continuously thinking, I'm not affected. But very quickly, he thinks, maybe she's shivering. I need to go and inquire if she's okay. So he takes a little bit of warm water and he says, would you like some warm water? Because it looks like you're shivering. The lady says, yes. And as soon as he gives the water, the tips of the finger of the lady touches him. And that is more than the thunderbolts which are going outside. He's done. In his heart, he's done. He says, well, this devotional service can be practiced in all ashrams. There is no restriction. Bhakti anyways is apratihata, cannot be interrupted by anything. He then goes and offers her a meal. And the lady then says, thank you, sir, you're very kind. That was the final straw that broke Jaimini's heart. And he says, would you marry me? It's quite direct. The lady is taken aback. And she says, don't worry. Don't think I'm that kind of a man who's going to do anything wrong with you. Please. I'm a rishi. I know all the Vedas. My guru is Vyas. And there is fire here. And there is the bride and the prospective bride and the bridegroom, and I can chant all the mantras, so we can just officiate our marriage right away. This lady says, sure sir, but I have one condition. Rather than walking ahead of you or behind you, which is the ceremony, the three and the four steps, I would want you to carry me in your arms. Jaimini says, oh, more than I expected. Why not? Why not? I carry you in my arms, my beloved. And he carries. Very nice. And he thinks, this is the ultimate goal of life. He's going around chanting the mantras. First, second, third, fourth. Final step. The lady says, the final mantra I will chant. He says, sure, my beloved. She says, ಬಲವಾನಿಂದ್ರಿಯ ಗ್ರಾಮೋ ವಿದ್ವಾಂಸಂ ಅಪಿಕರ್ಷತಿ. ಅಪಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಆಸ್ ಇನ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ 9th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು. ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಮೂಮೆಂಟ್ ಜೈಮಿನಿ ಫೀಲ್ಸ್, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್, ಹೌ ಇಸ್ ಶಿ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್? ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಪುಟ್ಸ್ ಹರ್ ಡೌನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಸೀಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ವ್ಯಾಸ್. So he falls at his feet and says, yeah. You see, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, 10th chapter, verse 55, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says clearly, this is factual evidence. The fall down of Kala Krishna Das is a factual, Prabhupada says, this is factual evidence showing that it is possible at any time to fall down from the Lord's association, even if we are in the presence of the Lord and the devotees. So, guards up and be very strong. Yeah, that's lesson number two. The first lesson is the Lord never leaves his devotees, always protects them, but the devotees have to do their bit. Be always protected. The third thing we find here, and this is the continuation we find. So what happened was, Kala Krishna Das continues with Mahaprabhu all the way to Puri. When they reach Puri, Mahaprabhu is, of course, all the devotees of Mahaprabhu are very happy. They come and embrace him. And then they say, welcome. And at that time, Mahaprabhu takes the opportunity to go with Kala Krishna Das to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And in Bhattacharya's house, his name was Vasudev actually. Vasudev Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Vasudev's house, Bhattacharya's house, everyone goes, leaves the room, and then it's just Sarvabhauma, Krishnadas, and Mahaprabhu. And at that time, Mahaprabhu says, Bhattacharya, just look at this man. He was in my association and yet he fell for the Bhattahiris. I do not want to see his face again. And Mahaprabhu left. It was in the noon and Mahaprabhu left for his prasadam. And Kala Krishna Das was weeping. And at that time, Nityananda Prabhu came and Mukunda came and then Damodar came and then Jagadananda came and they were asking, what happened? Kala Krishna Das was not in a state to even speak. Sarvabhauma explained what happened. And Nityananda, Jagadananda, Damodar and Mukunda told Krishna Das, actually there is one thing we can suggest to the Lord and we can ask you to do. Go to Bengal and inform Mother Sachi and Advaita Acharya that Mahaprabhu is now back in Puri, because the last they heard was Mahaprabhu was leaving for South India. Now he's gone across and come back. So please go and inform them. And if you inform them, they'll be very, very pleased. And then, of course, Krishna Das goes and there's a whole pastime and we'll read in Madhya Leela chapter 10 and we'll see how Krishna Das actually goes to Bengal as a messenger. Of course, in those days, there are no emails, there are no telegraphs, there are no mobile phones. So when you want to pass a message, you actually... a man mans the message, yeah? So a person actually goes and delivers the message. So, and usually it was Jagadananda who would do the errand of going from Puri to Bengal and bring the message, send it across. But this time they asked Kala Krishna Das to go and do it. So what does this show us? That even when someone is rejected by the Lord, the devotees of the Lord do not reject that person. The devotee is a more merciful than even the Lord Himself. And we find a beautiful verse from Bhavabhuti's Uttara Ramacharita. Vajradapi Kathorani Mruduni Kusumadapi. The devotee can be as strong or even stronger than Vajra, which is the thunderbolt weapon of Indra. But the devotee is also Mruduni Kusumadapi. They are even softer than a lotus when it comes to their heart. In their instructions, they can be very, very sharp. But when it comes to their heart, they are like lotus. So don't take, if somebody corrects us, somebody instructs us, which we find too strong, don't consider that devotee as someone who is against you. There's always some hidden goodwill which you may not be able to see. So the next thing that I was meditating on this morning, I just spent some time this morning to study this because I didn't have much opportunity yesterday. I was meditating, what happens next? So now Mahaprabhu has come from South India. He's rejected Krishnadas. Krishnadas is going to Bengal. He's informing the devotees. And once he's informed the devotees, Advaita Acharya, Mother Shachi and Srivas, they all have a 3-day festival with Krishnadas because Krishnadas brought such a wonderful message. So they made devotees happy. So Vaishnavas will engage, even if we are drifted away, if we remain in the shelter of Vaishnavas, they will always engage us in the service of devotees in the Lord. So one thing, even if we are struggling, we must never leave the association of the devotees of the Lord. That is our hope. The Lord never leaves us hopeless. There's always hope. So even when the Lord protected Kala Krishnadas, the Lord did not simply protect Kala Krishnadas. The Lord made sure that he is put back in the association of the devotees. And then from there on, he said, now it's up to you. Right? So, I was thinking, what happens next? So, if we look at Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Kala Krishnadas has done his messenger duty, Dyuta Seva. He's doing the messenger duty. And then we don't see a mention of Kala Krishnadas. Then we see a mention that Mahaprabhu now wants to go for another tour. And this time he wants to tour Vrindavan. He wants to go to Vrindavan and he wants to see all the places in Vrindavan. And while he wants to go to Vrindavan, once again Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, they tell Mahaprabhu, you have to go with someone. They're very concerned. So they say, you need a secretary. Mahaprabhu is always, why do I need anyone with me? And their reason is, Mahaprabhu, you need somebody to carry your kamandalu and your kopin, one pair of change of clothes. Kamandalu is the water pot. Mahaprabhu says, why can't I carry him? And the danda. Why can't I carry them? And they say, well, because sometimes you're in such ecstasy that you're completely unconscious. You fall unconscious. And if you fall unconscious, you may lose your belongings. Mahaprabhu says, okay, fine. The first time, the person who identified Kala Krishnadas was Nityananda Prabhu himself. So that is in Madhya Leela chapter 7, text number 38, where Nityananda Prabhu says, Krishna Dasa name ei sharalo brahmana. This Krishna Das nam, named Krishna Das, is a sarala brahmana. It's a very straightforward, simple, humble brahmana. Iho sange korilo dharo nivedana. My request, please, iho sange korilo, please take him with you. Take this Krishnas with you. Why? Because he is a sarala brahmana. He is a very nice, simple devotee. Simple brahmana person. But Mahaprabhu, we saw what happened. Although he was a nice, simple person, simple brahmana, learned person. So this time, when Mahaprabhu wants to go to Vrindavan, and Swarupa and Ramananda are asking Mahaprabhu the same thing. They are saying, Swarupa Damodar knows what happened with Krishna Das, but he says, and this is in chapter 17, Madhya Leela, he says, Uttama Brahmana Eka Sanghe Abhasya Chai. You definitely need one Uttama Brahmana with you. See, already once it failed, right? But now again, for Vrindavan trip also, they are recommending. Bhikha kori bhikha dibe jobe patra bahi. Because, again, you know, you need someone to carry your water pot and support you. Mahaprabhu this time says no. But I'll consider it in one condition. Now please listen carefully. Condition, he says, Nutana Sanghi Hoibeko Snigdha Jaha Mon. Snigdha Jaha Mon. Snigdha Mon means one who is affectionate to me. I don't want a Uttama Brahmana like you are proposing. I don't want a Sarala, a simple person, a humble person. I want someone who loves me. Aiche jabe pai tobe loyo ek jan. Loy ek jan. You bring one person, if you want, who has got snigdhata, who has got the affection or love for me. Swarupa Damodar says immediately, Swarupa kohe ei balabhadra bhattacharya. This balabhadra bhattacharya. So, Swarupa kohe ei balabhadra bhattacharya tomate susnigdha bodo pandita sadhu arja. He is this Bhattacharya, Balabhadra Bhattacharya is susnigdha. He is very affectionate to you. Susnigdha bado pandita sadhu arya. He is affectionate, he is a sadhu, he is a pandit, and he is very well behaved. Arya in Bengali means arya. Arya in Sanskrit means well behaved. So this Balabhadra Bhattacharya is the person you should take with you. So I was reflecting that ultimately Mahaprabhu and the Lord, Lord Krishna, he's not attracted by how well behaved we are, how much tapasya we perform, how straightforward we are, how simple we are, how learned we are. What is important for the Lord to make us his associate is the love and affection we have for him. We find in right in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, first canto, help me, Govinda Prabhu, it's first canto, what does he say? Snigdhasya shishyasya. First canto, first chapter, verse number 7, 8. Yes. First canto, first chapter, verse number 8, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the reason why Suta is able to speak Bhagavatam is because he is Snigdasya Shishyasya. One who is a Snigdha Shishya, one who is an affectionate servant. Is that correct? 118, is it? 118, okay, good. What is the translation? Perfect. Yeah. What is that? Guravo Guhyam Apyuta. Something like this, right?
Yes.
Guhyam Apyuta. Guravo Guhyam Apyuta. Because you are affectionate to your guru, you are serving with affection. Your guru has revealed the secrets to you. So the Lord, Guru is representation of Lord also. The Lord associates with us, or wants to be with us, or accept us in His company, only if we have this one qualification, which is Snigdhata. And in this verse of Bhagavatam 1.1.8, Sridhar Swami in his commentary, he says, and I think Prabhupada quotes that in his purport, you can correct me if that's not the case. Premavataha. Snigdhasya premavataha. Which Sridhar Swami says, Snigdhasya means one who has love. Now, I'm going to ask you all a question. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, what makes you happy, Srila Prabhupada? There's so many things devotees are doing, so many services. What makes you happy? So, any responses? What makes Prabhupada happy? So, many devotees answered, cooperation, book distribution, following good sadhana, doing your bhajan, always chanting Hare Krishna, oh, so many, being in the dham, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, so many answers were given. Sri Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna, that makes me happy. That makes me most happy. If you love Krishna. So ultimately, we don't want to do the do. But we want to do the do with the goal in mind, which is to love Krishna. Every activity that we do as seva, coming to the temple, making samosas, and while making samosas, talking about some kind of a soap opera or talking about some kind of, you know, football or this or that. Oh, I've been in one service and they were doing, and men were sitting in one row. You know, I just bought a new car, Tesla. Ah, Tesla! MG is better than Tesla. And the samosas are going on. And the MGs and Teslas are going on. No, Krishna is not present. Our, this service also Krishna will accept. But Krishna accepts this service as incidental service. Incidental means he will give you some sukruti. Okay, I'll give you some benefits because you did something for my cause. So it's never going complete waste. But if you're doing it, why don't you do it with the right consciousness? I mean, this is just one example, but it's in all services. I've been on the altar. I've cleaned with Prayojan Prabhu the toilets. There is Prajalpa there. There is Prajalpa on the altar. There is Prajalpa when Janmashtami Abhishek is going on. While the conch is being put on top of the head of the Lord, and there is something going on. We can all avoid it. My point is not to criticize. My point is, We can all avoid it with a little bit of a sincere heart. Yeah. So, this is now the last point I want to make. The fifth thing. We understand that even if we drift away, for whatever reason we drift away, as long as we repent, like Krishnadas, Kala Krishnadas, well, there could have been two reactions. Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhauma, look at this man, Kala Krishnadas. He's not been of any use. He was meant to look after me, but I was looking after him. So I was always, you know, not able to focus because I was always thinking of him. And so Mahaprabhu rejected him. He said, I don't want to be with him anymore. And he left. Kala Krishnadas had two choices. He could have gone into a, and this is what most of us do, he could have gone on a guilt trip. Oh, I am so bad. I shouldn't have done this. Oh, I'm useless. I should be, you know, just complete negativity. Actually, guilt as an emotion is a good thing, because guilt keeps us from committing sins. So we have desires, which are not always right desires, yeah? For example, you don't like someone. And in the material world, they say, oh, if I could, I would have killed him. You know, they just say it casually. So it's a desire, right? But there's a guilt. Even if you're an ordinary person, you'd think, well, he's probably not that bad. I can't really, really mean to kill him. So there is guilt. If I do this, then this will be the effect. If you are a devotee and you are not following a particular regulative principle, there's guilt which will come to your mind. So guilt is good because you have desire and you have the sinful act. And the guilt becomes like the barrier that helps you to not easily get to your sinful act. So you have your desire, you have the sinful act, and the guilt comes in between. So it's a good thing. But what is this pseudo or fake or false guilt? False guilt takes you away from Krishna. It gives you thoughts, oh, I must be the lowest of the low, I am useless, I shouldn't do this, I should stop serving Mahaprabhu, I should stop being with the devotees, I should... So that negativity is just false guilt. Actually, it is not even guilt. It is only self-centeredness. Self-centeredness is two types. One is positive self-centeredness, which means I am the greatest. The negative self-centeredness is I am the worst of the worst. Once Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, and Kirtananda Swami was showing him around. And then Prabhupada sat and Kirtananda Swami sat and everyone else sat down. Many sannyasis and brahmacharis. And then Kirtananda Maharaj told Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you are the most pure. And I'm the most fallen. He said it with quite some emotion. And Srila Prabhupada, in front of everyone, he looked at Kirtananda and he said, very penetratingly, his eyes, and he said, no, you are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. So the reality is, we're not the most. When we say we're the most something, it's actually ego. It's the ego trip in the negative direction. So Srila Prabhupada said, you're simply insignificant. You're not the most anything. So, humility means not to get into a negativity. I'm a nobody, I'm nothing. But instead, to ask and show, how can I get out of it? To repent and reconnect. What is the crux of this particular pastime? It's repentance and then reconnection. Repent and reconnect. Repent and reconnect. If you do repent or pseudo-repent and run away, that's for sure not humility. Recently I was speaking to a Mataji and she said, the last time I've been to Mayapur was in 2018. And I said, okay. And then she said, you know what, I'm not able to go to Mayapur again because I must have done some offenses. And you know, Mahaprabhu is really upset with me. And Nityananda Prabhu does not want to see me. And Bhaktivinod and Srila Prabhupada. And I say, okay, that's fine. I get the point. Let me ask you, did you ever seriously endeavor, to book a ticket to Mayapur or to go to Mayapur? And she said, well, I always think about it. But no, I have never tried to book a ticket or actually. So I said, well, why? Why this guilt? It's like, you know, me just having my nice tea and sipping my tea, either a rooibos tea or a, like, within the bounds. Because I know, Balavan Indriya Gramo Vidvam Samapikarshati. I know that, I always repeat in my mind. When I face with a difficult situation, this verse definitely comes to my mind. So when I'm tea sipping, nice thinking, I think, maybe I should be a millionaire. Will that make me a millionaire? No. No endeavor. Just tea sipping, thinking. It doesn't help. So this Mataji is thinking, so many things. In that thought, she already thought that Mahaprabhu personally is so much connected with her that Mahaprabhu has decided she should not come. So we have all this funny negativity. It's phony and funny both. Correct? This is useless. Kala Krishnadas, immediately when Nityananda, Mukunda, and the other associates told Kala Krishnadas, please go. Be a messenger. He was re-enthused and he was eager to go and he said, please allow me to serve. And so, repent, not run away, reconnect. So he reconnected. And this is the heart of the verse, 9th chapter Bhagavad Gita, verse number 30. Very famous verse. Apichet Suduracharo. And many devotees think of it in many ways. Yeah? So, apichet means even if suduracharaha, achara means behavior, action. Durachar means bad behavior. Sudurachar, double prefix, very bad behavior, means abominable behavior. Yeah, good. So, sudurachara. Apichet sudurachara, even if one has fallen away completely. The next line is, bhajate mam ananya bhag. If the person is desiring to continue, take only my shelter. And actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I mean if you read all the commentaries, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami, even Madhusudan Saraswati if you want to read, or even Shankaracharya if you want to read. Well, I'm not recommending you do, but I'm just saying, I read it, so, but you don't find any sweetness as much as you do in Sararth Varshini of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So he writes very sweetly. He says, Ananya Bhak means Ananya, nobody else. As long as, yes, you're a sinner, you've drifted away, you've not chanted your rounds, you've not committed to your vows, you are not following the four regulative principles fully. And by the way, somebody recommended to the GBC that in the four regulative principles, when we say no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating and no intoxication, with no illicit sex, they should also add, like, with no meat eating, there is comma, onions, comma, garlic, comma, mushroom, comma, whatever, tea, comma, coffee, like that. So similarly, they said, we should add, with no illicit sex, comma, no television, comma, no YouTube, comma. And then there was such a huge non-acceptance. Well, YouTube can be used for watching our nice Bhagavatam classes. The only difficulty is, after the class finishes, YouTube pops up with another idea. And you say, click! And then you go, click! And for next 5 hours, you're watching dances and all kinds of, I mean, I don't know what all the, I don't have a YouTube account or a Instagram account or a Twitter account or whatever account. So I just don't have it. Oh, Facebook. Well, I know I can have it. And once I have it, I will be really into it. Because that's my nature. I get really into it. But that's why I really want to have it, but I just don't have time. Srila Prabhupada gives this mantra. Formula. Mantra in the sense. Formula. To become Krishna conscious, one can apply this formula, simple formula, just with your mind, body and words. Be so busy in Krishna consciousness that there is no time for doing any nonsense. That's the only formula I'm trying to apply. And actually, Sat Goswami asked to come, Govind Prabhu, where is this verse? Akala Vyarthatvam is from Sat Goswami asked to come. Akala Vyarthatvam. No. It's not, it's from... Yes, one of the nine anubhavs. Yes. Akala Vyarthatvam. It's one of the nine anubhavs. Akala Vyarthatvam, which means don't waste any time. And the Goswamis were like this. They didn't waste any time doing anything else. So poor senses, they have to just fix with whatever you give. There's no time for YouTube, no time for games, no time for football. Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even if he is the most fallen, if he does ananya bhak, which means he comes back to Krishna, no matter what, he comes back to Krishna. Ananya, not to anyone else. And this is very important, because even in the, as Prabhupada would say, in the Christian Bible, Prabhupada would say, and I would sometimes wonder, why is Prabhupada saying Christian Bible? The Bible is only Christian, right? But maybe not. Then I realized, well, the Jews also say the Old Testament is theirs. So anyway, everything is everyone's. But the Bible says, Jesus says, I think it's the Book of Matthew, is it? Oh, you don't know. In the Book of Matthew, I think Jesus says at one point, thou shalt not have two masters. For if you do, you shall not know whom to serve. Isn't it? If you have two masters, one says, go up, bring me something. The other says, no, go down and get me something. What do you do? So, ananya bhak. So this ananya bhakti is also there in Bible. Well, in one sense. We can find devotional elements sprinkled in all these scriptures. The essence is in the Vedic scriptures. So here, Ananya Bhak. Very important. No matter what, I will not leave the association of the devotees and the Lord. Vishwanathakavi Thakur says, this is Ananya Bhak. Apichetsu Duracharo. Even if one is Durachari, Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak. In that case, Sadhureva Mantavya. Sadhu Eva Mantavya. One should consider him to be a sadhu. Why? Why we should consider such a person sadhu? We know he is, once in a while he thinks I'm in Russia for preaching and it's very cold weather and the word for water, the word water in Sanskrit, in English is related to the word voda in Russian. And that is vodka, is similar. So once in a while he is in Russia for preaching, he takes something, feels nice. I know one devotee like this actually. So he came to me, asked me, what do I do? So I said, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Next time you think of vodka, you just sip water. So now he's doing that. But he used to go from one of the Eastern European countries to Russia to preach. And he said, sometimes Prabhu, old habits die hard. So sometimes I take one sip of vodka. I said, what? So I said, no, don't do that. Take one sip of water and think Krishna is the taste of water. But devotees, we are challenged by Maya. We have to be honest. I think one of the things that devotees need to do is be honest. It'll be so nice if we can be honest. We can drop all the facade and be honest. Like, I am honestly attracted to sweets. And if you give me wealth, wine, woman and gulab jamun, I know which one to go for. But what do I do? Cannot help. So we have to be honest. But sadhureva mantavya, even if he is drinking vodka and preaching, consider him to be sadhu. This is nonsense. Krishna is saying, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he clarifies, mantavyaha. Mantavyaha means, Sanskrit grammar, tavyat and aniyar are two suffixes, which means must, injunction. So for example, if I say, gantavyaha, means must go. Gamaniya means must go. So here, mantavyaha, must consider. You must consider him to be a sadhu. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Hari, Hari. We should consider him to be sadhu. Why? The last line is the answer. Samyag vyavasito hisaha. Samyag vyavasitaha. Vyavasita means resolute. Like we have Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhi. Because he is resolute in his purpose that no matter what, even though I am not following things as I should, I am repenting and I want to reconnect. If he has that mood, then he remains a sadhu. Of course, if he has the mood that he is repenting, but he wants to run away, he wants to go away from the, and he wants to fall completely under the energy of the Lord, external energy, then is not sadhu. But as long as he repents and continues to reconnect, falling at every step like a little child who is learning how to walk, trips and trips and trips, stands up and continues walking, that person, Krishna says, must be considered to be a sadhu. And then in the next verse, he says, in case you are wondering, what will happen to such a person? He says, Shipram bhavati dharmatma. Shipram bhavati dharmatma. Very quickly, he will become a dharmatma. Although he is performing adharma, very quickly he will realize his mistake. That's why bhavati is used, not bhavishyati. Kshipram bhavishyati dharmatma is not used. Not that he will in the future someday become dharmatma. Quickly, immediately. Because I asked this devotee, what happens when you drink vodka? He said, I just feel so, you know, not like myself. I feel really bad about it. And then what do you do? And he said, I start the machine gun. And I said, this devotee is a very special kind, it seems. So he said, machine gun means his bead bag. He starts chanting. After drinking vodka, feeling bad, he starts chanting. So I said, now you drink water and start chanting. And he's doing that. He's over it now, completely over it. But point is, this is there in Bhagavad Gita. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma bhavati, he will immediately repent and become, we do so many wrong things, we repent. And if we track back, like, you know, you see, if you fly in an aircraft from, say, London to New York, there's a flight path it shows you, right? It shows you the flight path. But I don't know if you ever observed, because, I mean, when I go in a flight, I also have my screen on like everyone else. Everyone's watching things, I'm also watching, but the only thing I'm watching is, when do I get there? So I only have that map open always. And you can see, once I was on a flight to New York, and the flight was just going up, 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 up. And I, at one point, stood up and I thought, is the flight hijacked? Or is something wrong? Or did I board the wrong flight? I went and I asked the stewardess, am I in the right flight? Am I to Iceland or something? And she said, no, it's fine because of bad weather. We're taking a detour. And I was relaxed. And then, of course, everyone else is watching their stuff and they're not concerned. And then what happens? The flight path is readjusted. Then I thought I was going to Canada. And then it was readjusted down to go to New York. Similarly, we know what our goal is, destination is. We might end up going in a different direction. We have to readjust. That's what Krishna is saying. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachyati. You will get over it. And then final line, and I'll stop there. Final line, Krishna says, Kaunteya pratijanihi na me bhakta pranashyati. Now here there's a little secret that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur leaks in. He tells us, Kaunteya pratijanihi Arjuna, because Arjuna almost asks Krishna, well, it's fine if you say the person has to reconnect and rework, but what if he's still, right up to the last day of his life, he's still struggling, he's still not corrected himself? Then certainly he's lost, he's finished. So Krishna says, no, even if you are struggling until the last day of your life, the devotee who is only surrendered to me is a sadhu. Why? Because from his next life he starts where he left off. And as if being angry, Krishna tells Arjuna, Kaunteya pratijanihi. Pratijanihi means, please go out and declare. And Baldeva Devabhushana's commentary says, go with cymbals and drums and raise your hands and declare, na me bhakta pranashyati, my devotee never perishes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is asking a question. Why he is asking Arjuna to go and declare? He can himself declare, right in the verse, I declare, my devotee will never perish. Why do you think he is asking Arjuna to go and declare? Yes, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers, he says, Krishna sometimes says one thing and does another. Like he said in the war of Kurukshetra, he'll not fight. And then he took the wheel of the chariot to kill Bhishma. And he told the gopis, I'll never leave Vrindavan, but he left. Well, he never left and he left both, right? So that's a reconciliation there. But Krishna may not follow his words. In Bhagavad Gita he says, I reciprocate equal measure to what you do for me. What is the verse? Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam tathaiva bhajami ham. Whatever you do, I reciprocate equally. Krishna's words, he's declaring, very proud on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But what he's telling the gopis? Na paraye ham. Oh, you are offering me so much love, I cannot reciprocate with you. Your love is your reciprocation in itself. In one place you are saying you reciprocate equally, other place you are saying you cannot reciprocate. This is Krishna. So Krishna says, I may go back on my words, but I will never let the words of my devotee be in vain. Yes, bhakta. So, that's why he is asking Arjuna, you declare that my devotees never perish. So, in summary, this pastime is very instructive. We understand how the Lord never leaves us, is always protecting us. And we should always be on guard. Balavan Indriya Gramo. Yeah. There was one brahmachari from Mayapur, he asked me, I love doing tattoos. And you give me some Sanskrit words to tattoo. I gave him this verse. And then he read the verse, the meaning in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. And he said, Prabhu, it will be too much in my eye. So I put it on my back. So, okay, whatever. So, at least others can read. Balavan Indriya Gramo. Okay. So, that's the second point. We have to be careful. Number three. Devotees of the Lord are more merciful than the Lord Himself. Isn't it? Number four. Just by being nice and simple is not the goal. The goal is to love Krishna. Krishna will accept us as His associate if we are affectionate. And number five. Even if we are struggling, as long as we repent and reconnect, not repent and run away. The Lord has guaranteed. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. And he shows this in Kala Krishna Das's case. This is a very nice verse. Sorry, this was a backup class and I just made a little endeavor here and there. But any questions, comments or corrections? Yes, Prayojan Prabhu. Please enlighten us.
I'd like to ask you a question on, I can't remember the Sanskrit or anything, but it's in the first verse of Bhagavatam, 19th chapter, where he says, King Parikshit regretted...
Is the mic on?
It's is it? Sorry, is that better?
No. Yeah.
In chapter 1 text, chapter 19 text 1, where it says King Parikshit really regretted his putting the...
Snake
round the neck.
Round the neck, yeah.
Yeah. And then he says, in their purport, says, in the purport, he says, but actually here, that his sin was burned with his sincere regret for the pain that, or what is it? Can you remember the verse? It's sincere repentance. It had to be sincere repentance.
Yes.
Will be destroy the fire of the sin.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you get that.
No, I did. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a question that Jiva Goswami at one place elaborates on. I can't remember where, which literature. But he says, what is it that allows a devotee who has who's committing some sin, what is it that allows that devotee to continue to receive mercy? It's sincere repentance. And that sincere repentance diminishes the magnitude of the sinful act that was committed, is reduced by that sincere repentance. And that allows that devotee to continue with, you know, accessing more mercy. So, and again, in case of Parikshit Maharaj, chapter 19, first canto, that's the last chapter of the first canto. Mm-hmm. First canto has 19 chapters. So towards the end, the point that is being made is, what is the... So Parikshit Maharaj could have acted differently and he could have gone after the sage and his son and everyone else, but instead, repenting, he took the shelter of the Lord. So that therein, it reiterates what... Krishnadas did. Yes. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Oh, there's two more. Okay. We'll have to be quick.
Prabhu, there seems to be a lot of things on the side of the devotee to do. Keep busy, regret, continue with determination, Krishna consciousness. And there seems to be not much from Krishna's side. other than promises that my devotee will never
perish. Yeah.
So, yeah, like taste or affection, either you have it or you don't have it.
Yeah.
So can you maybe elaborate on that?
Very nice question, actually. He put it in a very... light manner, but it's a very deep question. It seems that the Lord is just making a statement. My devotee never perishes, and then he's walking away. There's not much for him to do. And then the devotee is left with all this hard work. You know, it's a very unfair relationship. You know, when you have a one-sided relationship, you love the person is just completely neutral with you. It seems like that a little bit. So the answer is given in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and actually the 8th canto of Bhagavatam. Ooh, I don't have time, but let me summarize. So, 7th canto of Bhagavatam. Praise Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj says that, you know, we are all conditioned. What are we conditioned? We are conditioned to enjoy the material nature in this conditioned life. The Lord is he conditioned? Is the Lord conditioned? No? Oh, here's a little secret from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord is also conditioned. But his conditioning is this. The word used in Bhagavatam is anugrahakataraha. Anugrahakataraha. Katara means conditioned. Cannot help. Like me and a gulab jamun, nothing separates me from the gulab jamun because I'm just conditioned to it. I mean, no matter of whatever disease there is, that nothing can stop me. It has to go in my mouth and explode. That's it. Because I'm conditioned. The Lord is similarly conditioned to do anugraha. Anugraha means grace, mercy. The Lord is conditioned to be merciful. He is conditioned to show His grace, to shower His grace. And here's the elaboration of that answer in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam. We find in chapter 12 of the 8th canto. Actually, elaboration chapter 11 and 12 of 8th canto. We find that when the demons are more powerful than the demigods. The Lord first tells the demigods. The demigods are taken by Brahma to Shvetadvip. And the Lord simply instructs the demigods. Okay, you go and have a truce with the demons and do the churning of the Milky Ocean and you'll get nectar and you'll be fine. So what does he do? What's his input? Just some instruction. Go, do it. Now, if you just think about it, it seems, why is he not helping directly? Why is he not, you know, doing anything? He's just instruction. Go, you do it. It's as if the demigods have to do everything. But just if you read through 11th chapter, 12th chapter, here's what actually happens. The demigods go. They have a truce with the demons. They lift the mountain Mandara, which is on the west of the Sumeru mountain. They lift the Mandara mountain and are carrying it to Kshirasagara, to the Milky Ocean. What happens? They feel it's very heavy and they drop it. What does the Lord do? The Lord personally comes. Now keep counting. The Lord instructed. Now the Lord personally comes, lifts the mountain for them on back of Garuda and takes it to Shvetadvip. And some of the demons had died because the mountain, demigods had died because the mountain fell on them. So he brings them back to life. When the mountain is put, Mandara is put in the Milky Ocean and Vasuki is used as a rope, the mountain starts sinking. So to steady the mountain, the Lord appears, intervenes and appears as Kurmadev. And now the mountain is steady from the bottom, but from the top it is wobbly. The Lord as Ajita appears with his thousand hands and sits on top. The strength of the demons and the demigods is not enough to churn the Milky Ocean. They're trying, 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 nothing comes out. The Lord enters into the mountain. The Lord enters into the demons, the Vasuki, and the demigods. The Lord enters the demons as the Rajogun, in demigods as Sattvagun, in Vasuki as ignorance, sleep. So Vasuki sleeps. Otherwise, imagine he's being pulled and pushed. So he sleeps. So eight, the Lord is doing. Even then, nothing happens. Then Ajita himself enters the arena and starts pulling. The Lord himself is doing the Samudra Manthan. And then, so that's 10 interventions. How many interventions? Intervention at every step. 10. And then, and by the way, all of this is directly mentioned in the Bhagavatam. This is not some commentary. It's directly in the verse. Okay? Then, once the nectars come out, well, of course, the poison comes and Shiva drinks and the other items come before the nectar comes, Lakshmi Devi comes, etc. The poison comes out. This is all in the 8th chapter of the 8th canto. So when the nectar comes, who brings the nectar? Dhanvantari. So the result is also given by the Lord. The karta, the inspiration given by the Lord, the ability given by the Lord, the instruments given by the Lord, the base is the Lord, the direction from the top is the Lord, the doer is the Lord, the result is also given by the Lord, 11th, Dhanvantari. And then, when the pot gets snatched away by the demons, again the demigods are in trouble, the problem solver is Mohini Murthy, number 12. So even the problem solver is the Lord. So for one who has surrendered, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. What is the next line? Aham, I personally, Tvam, you, Sarva Papebhyo Mokshaishyami Mashuchaha. I will take care of everything else. But your first step is enough. So in one sense, the equation is very imbalanced. But it's imbalanced in the sense that we only do that one thing, full surrender. Of course, to get there, we have to do a lot of hard work. But if there is full surrender, the Lord does everything else. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, we've run out of time. So, okay, I'll take one question. Yeah, just one last question or comment, please, quick. I may not be able to answer in detail, but yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
What is the distinction between love and drive? Since Maya reaches all Prabhu and Mataji even on the altar, you mentioned guilt. Does the sense of guilt have an evolutionary function, right? Even fear, biologically, has an evolutionary function, for example, protective. Then, how much space should we leave for this emotion in Krishna consciousness?
Very nice. And I'm going to answer it very quick. All emotions are acceptable if we can apply them in direct service of the Lord. None of the emotions, and you're right, all these emotions have some reason they evolve in us or appear in us, is probably what you're trying to say. For example, anger. Yeah, anger, Hanuman applied to destroy Lanka. Prabhupada always says, Arjuna applied anger to kill the Kauravas. So anger in itself is not bad. None of these emotions are bad if they are dovetailed. Prabhupada uses this word, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, dovetailing all our emotions to Krishna. Then all these emotions can be managed. So if you remain under the shelter of a senior devotee, Vaishnavi, who can guide you, they can answer these questions, and they can guide you on how you can dovetail these emotions. Okay? Thank you very much, Prabhupada ki jai, Samaved Bhaktivrinda ki jai, Kaur Prayavanandi, Hari Hari Bhav.